Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 16. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, you know what, bring me that little iPad, because this thing on like 2%. I don't want to look crazy. I know I'm just, I'm going to get it together, y'all. Cool, thank you. That he found that any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly were there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Don't you like the way Jesus take ownership? He said, You persecute me. That's what you need to worry about. When you at your job, stop worrying about them messing with you, because they're really not messing with you. They're messing with Jesus, and Jesus takes it personally. If you just sit there and endure for a night, joy will come in the morning. That ain't in the scripture, but I just saw that and I heard it for somebody. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call by name. Basically saying, what are you talking about, God? This joker trying to kill me, and you want me to go save him? You sure that what you want me to do? But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did you hear that? Did you hear that last one? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. A lot of times we think we're supposed to be doing well all the time, but you got to understand this astronomy about faith is rooted in suffering. Amen. God didn't say pick up your Bible and follow me, even though you should pick it up. He didn't say pick up your Bentley or your Benz. He said pick up the cross and follow me. Lord, I ask for you to bring me a word like only you can, so that we can hear it and give it to these people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. As we speak today, I want to speak to you from the subject, an unforgettable encounter. An unforgettable encounter. As you can imagine, Saul was no friend of the Christian community. In today's context, he would have been seen as a radical terrorist who would stop at nothing to destroy this new religion. Because of his prominence in the New Testament, we should examine the impact of Paul's pivotal encounter with the risen Christ. Saul stands out as history's most famous convert to the Christian faith. His encounter with Christ and his subsequent impact of his life deserve a much closer look as we search for parallels that apply to us today. We're going to point out five things we learned from Saul of Tarsus. We're going to point out five things. Amen. Number one, Saul's encounter with Christ gave him a new life mission. It gave him a new life mission. This event may be one of the most dramatic encounters with God in all of Scripture. It could be considered the New Testament parallel to Moses' encounter of God at a burning bush in the Old Testament. Moses encountered God as a consuming fire, a tree that was burning but would not be consumed. Paul experienced him as a blinding light. Saul's encounter is also the source of the expression seeing the light and thus changing one's ways. The end result of both of these moments was these men being commissioned by God to accomplish his purpose. For Moses, the call was to lead people out of physical bondage and slavery. Paul's mission was to proclaim Christ's message of deliverance from spiritual bondage and oppression. A common theme runs through the stories of those who encounter Christ in any way. They find themselves divinely redirected. Paul's belief that Christ had been raised from the dead led him to spark a mass movement that caused multitudes to accept the gospel, putting their trust in Christ. Newbies Grove is filled with people who found their God-given purpose and destiny when they came to Christ. As you look back over your life, how many of you can say you have been divinely redirected? And to those who find yourself in the midst of a dramatic life experience, could it be that you're facing an encounter with God? Could God be redirecting your life and drawing you closer to your life's mission? Do you know sometimes we get mad at the devil and think the devil doing stuff to us all the time, and sometimes it's God? Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Hey, can I talk to the mothers out there? Can I talk to some mamas? Sometimes this child get on your nerves, but before your child was born, you loved that child, didn't you? But when you got that child out of you, it hurt. I know I ain't no woman. I ain't trying to act like I know. But I know I done seen enough movies to know it hurt. Come on, somebody. But in the midst of the pain, God was birthing something out of you. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. In the midst of the pain, he was birthing something out of you. And sometimes when you're going through pain, you're birthing something. Now, I preached about it before, but it was good to hear somebody else say it the other day. But you're birthing something. And sometimes when you're birthing, the contractions hurt. And sometimes God is gut punching you to make sure he gets you back on track. And sometimes I can see the devil just sitting in hell crying. Well, he ain't in hell yet, but just sitting there crying, talking about what God be like, what you talking about? Devil, what you crying about? They keep blaming me for the stuff you doing. Because sometimes God has to shape you. Do you understand that growth hurts? Remember when you was in middle school, sometimes your bones would hurt and you felt like an old man or woman at the time because you're growing so fast, and they call it a growing pain because your bones are stretching at a tremendous rate, and sometimes the pressure, your body and your muscles aren't developed enough to hold some of the weight that's going on in your life, and sometimes God is allowing a weight to come on your life that you can't really hold right now, but he's taking it from one level of glory to the next. One generation or one group of people don't want you no more. And you're not quite accepted in this group now, so you're in a metamorphosis and you're between stages. Right now you're shedding your exoskeleton. You're shedding your skin like a snake. You're like a caterpillar rolled up in a cocoon trying to hide from your enemies, because right now you're overly sensitive because God is taking you from one level to the next. It ain't the devil all the time where you're feeling pain. God is trying to burst something out of your life. Stop whining about the pain. Understand, no pain, no gain. Number two, Saul's encounter with Christ changed his character. Meeting Christ on the road to Damascus not only changed the course of Saul's life, but it changed his character. Before Damascus, Saul was indeed religiously zealous, yet his heart was filled with anger, resentment, and even murder. In our world today, we can see this trait in people who think they're doing God's work by harassing and harming others in the name of God. However, after Saul's encounter with Christ, he became the exact opposite, teaching the Lord's servants must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. Instead of resorting to torture and persecution to get others to change their beliefs, Paul would instead pray, preach, and persuade them by the force of his arguments, even to the point of being tortured and persecuted himself. Ain't that amazing? How he was Saul, but now he's Paul. God, he was so messed up, God had to change his name. I believe that's why preachers, you know, even though I'm Willard Maxwell, you know, and sometimes people mess the name up so much, they just say this W.G. Maxwell. They just erase the name and mess that name up, get a new one. If we can forgive Saul and let him be Paul, and let him have a dramatic change. Why is it when we look in the Bible, we can accept all the flaws of those individuals, but when other people are being transformed by God, we act like people can't change? I saw a post the other day. Somebody said, people can't change. They just learn how to lie better. But you don't know that. That person may have had an encounter with God and has actually changed. Come on, somebody. And I'm not saying trust them right away when they change. Come on, somebody. I ain't saying tell them your business if they used to be a gossiper. But what I am saying is God can change people. He changed Saul so dramatically. He changed his name. He changed Jacob so dramatically. He changed his name. He changed Abram so dramatically. He changed his name. He changed Sarah so dramatically. Sarah so dramatically. He changed her name. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God has to rename you and start calling you what he already wanted you to be. You're not a whoremonger. Come on, somebody. You're not a drunk. You're not a crackhead. You're not a failure. You're not an adulterer. You better let God rename you and call you what he's already ordained you to be. I'm so glad God called me my Omega and not my Alpha. He called me my ending and not my beginning. He called me what he wants me to be and not what I am. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Even though you're trying to kill me because you're so powerful, I'm going to turn your life around and use you. It's some dope dealers out there that can be great entrepreneurs. God is ready to change your life. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all better hear me right now. It's some people out there that used to be prostitutes and you can run some social media or something. Come on, somebody. God can change your life around and use it for the glory of God. Stop thinking that you can't be changed and transformed, because truth be told, before you was in your mother's womb, God had already called you to be a prophet. Before you was in your mother's womb, God had already called you what he wanted you to be. He just got to remind your spirit of who you are so your flesh and your mind can find out who you've already supposed to be. He already called Jeremiah to be a prophet. He already called you to be a deacon. The problem is you just messing up your life, doing stuff on your own, and you forgot what God called you to be before you was in your mother's womb, but your spirit knows. I don't know where this sermon going, but it sure ain't where I thought it was going. But sometimes you got to get the Holy Ghost room. Thank y'all for the singing. Thank y'all for the worship. Thank you for what you do, because when you really come prayed up and you really begin to sing worship song, you begin to clear out the atmosphere so I can preach the way God want me to preach. When you really prayed up and you really sing it to him and not yourself and not the audience, I can feel the glory in the house. Yes, I can feel the glory. Yes, no greater way to state this change of character than the statement Paul later wrote to the Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. And some say that you're a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. One of the greatest evidences for the Christian faith is the collection of stories or accounts of people who were radically transformed and are now trophies of grace. What's your story? Come on, somebody. I know the credit card coming and say, what's in your wallet? But what's in your story? What's in your life? How has your character changed since your encounter with God? Let me tell you how my encounter. See, when you begin to start doing, getting in leadership, Brother Tab, you will stop getting mad at everybody. You know why? Because somebody gonna make you mad every day. And until you stop letting stuff bother you, come on, somebody. Somebody said, why you not mad because so-and-so? I'm like, I can't change who they are anyway. Why I'm going to get mad about it? Why I'm going to put myself in a position? Why I'm going to put a time limit on this person over here when I don't care if they in the building or not? I ain't going to worry about that, because they ain't going to do nothing upset me. I already know that they don't have their stuff together. So why am I going to put myself in a position to be upset to even encounter that situation? You got to learn how to just let some stuff go. You know, you got to learn how to be like a duck. Duck in the water, they just let stuff roll off their back. They don't worry about the water. They don't try to swim. They don't even look like they're supposed to be able to swim. They don't even look like they're doing the right thing. They so daggone awkward, but they still float on the water. Stop worrying about what everybody think about you. It don't matter how awkward you look. Come on, somebody. Jimi Hendrix played the guitar upside down. So what his teacher told him to flip it over? He made way more money than his teacher did. So what they told him? Dizzy Gillespie, you gotta keep your cheeks. They take it to keep your cheeks down. So what? He blow his up and he did it the way he want to do it. Stop trying to be like everybody else and be wonderfully and uniquely made. Stop trying to craft yourself like other people. I don't try to preach like Joel Osteen. I don't try to preach like T.D. Jakes. I am Willard Maxwell. So if that's who you want to see, well, come on by. If you want to see somebody else, you're not going to get an invitation, baby. But y'all don't hear what I'm saying? You don't hear what I'm saying? God is tired of Xerox copies. He's tired of people trying to be like everybody else. He wants you to be like yourself. I don't know where this sermon going. Sometimes, y'all better watch out. Brother LaBeouf, just like my golf ball. I don't know where it's going. I don't know where that came from, Jesus. Number three, Saul's encounter with Christ affected his relationships. Can I tell you something? Some people are going to leave when you change. Oh, I remember when I was leading my friends to the other place. I was a DJ at the school. I wasn't doing this. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was, you know, having the Holy Ghost with the little brown paper. I was, Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. I was partying all the time. Knew what to do. I ain't saying nothing wrong with partying, but, you know, out partying for a whole nother reason. End result I was looking for. I'll talk to you about that later. But just keeping it 100. But when I started changing, they got mad. Sister Rosita, they had an intervention with me to tell me I was changing and why we ain't leading them partying and going crazy no more. I'm like, so when I was leading you to hell, I was good. that what you telling me? I mean, that's really what I'm hearing. They're like, no, that is what I'm hearing now. When I was leading you to hell, trying to get you to, you know, the parties and, you know, trying, you know, saying, get you, you know, anyway, leave that alone. I'm trying to be saved and holy. When I was leading you down the wrong path, we were good. Come on, somebody. But now I ain't rolling with Tupac all day. You mad? Come on, somebody. Now I done bought a house at 22 and you still with your mama, but you want me to stay like I was? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you have an encounter with God, your relationships change. I ain't gonna go with what I wrote down on this one because this is gonna be personal right here. Can I talk? See, your relationship change. Some people can't stomach who you become. They can't handle you going to the next level. Have you ever been overwhelmed because somebody gave you so much stuff to do and you overwhelmed trying to get your degree, overwhelmed trying to put a program together, overwhelmed trying to decorate? Well, some people overwhelmed when you step in the room when your new anointing has hit you to go to the next level and they can't handle it. Come on, somebody. Just tell them to throw up and walk away. Come on, somebody. I y'all better hear me. If you can't handle the capacity of me, I don't care about you rejecting me. I had a group to vote me out right here in Newport News because they said I do too much. Well, bye. Ain't gonna hurt my feelings. And you better not tweet to me, because then you're gonna let you know who you are. I ain't gonna call your name. But I'm gonna tell the story. The names are not listed to protect the guilty. Because some folk don't want to work, they just want a title. They want to look like they're doing something. They want to make sure they do worship all the time. I ain't nothing wrong with worshiping all the time, but what I'm telling you, when you going to get out in the streets and do something? Yeah, you know, I love the old soldier movies, because the old soldier movies, like Braveheart, the old school soldiers, they go out and fight with the folk. They weren't just on the back line doing some stratego in the back lines. The general would go out and fight, and in their mind, they know they're going to win. They're going to go out there and fight and come back because they know they're going to win the war. I am tired of leaders that always want to sit back in the back seat and watch everybody else do something. I need you to learn how to get in the fray every now and then so that the people can see you lead by example. Neil Nehemiah was walking around, he didn't put bricks on the wall all the time, but he made sure he interacted with the people and told them hands-on what they needed to do. Sometimes when you go to the next level, your relationships will change. And right now, I'm going through a metamorphosis. The same, the people I'm around right now don't want me, but the other people trying to feel like, do we accept where he's going? And sometimes you get invited to this and that, or circles you don't even really feel like you deserve to be in. I was riding around. Pastor wouldn't tell me where we was going, riding around trying to keep up with the pastor. Rolling through Baltimore, busy streets, trying to find out where we going. They wouldn't tell me where we were going, but I had to keep up. Nobody called me and give me no number. We want you to come with us, but you better keep up. Pedestrian beware, because if the light red and I'm behind them, I'm keeping on going. I don't know. Hey, move out the way. I ludicrous, move. Get out the way. I'm trying to go somewhere. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. And God protected me, because at one time the cars got split up, and then one of they were looking like Secret Service. So one of the black trucks got messed up, and so I ended up being in the middle of them. So then we stopped at a red light, and he came and knocked on the window and said, "Are you with us?" I said, "Yeah, I'm with y'all." And if you stay right there, because I know they ain't going to leave y'all, but they might leave me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When God begins to take you from one level to the next, you better not miss those opportunities to be before great men and women of God. When God opens the door, you better walk your little self down there and sit in the seat. Yeah. Now don't sit down before they tell you. Like, I just stood up. Like, I let everybody else sit down. And they were moving folk around, because the Bible said, don't you sit in the seat greater than where you supposed to be. Sit way in the back and let them pull you up. I just stood in the corner. They said, "Oh, Red Maxwell, come up, pull me to the good table." Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all got to understand, you got to learn how to sit back and wait on God. But as he shifts your relationship, some of them you got to let go. You can't make it to the top of Mount Everest carrying your own baggage. A rocket ship. I don't know where I'm going, Sister Kim. I'm just somewhere else. The rocket ship, when the rocket takes off, it takes off in the beginning, but then some of the boosters fall off, because the boosters were there to get them to one level, and some people are boosters that get you to one level, and sometimes you got to let them fall off so you can go to the next level, because you can't go with all that weight on you. You can't break the atmosphere with the same weight that you had on the way up, but some people that get you so far. But you know, one of my favorite movies is Ray. Oh, I feel it today. Y'all better sing. Y'all better keep doing it. Keep doing it. Can we give a hand to Andre Ricks, our leader? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you to the peace. Thank you, everybody. I thank y'all so much for the worship, because I can feel it. You don't understand. It's easy to preach when they bring glory in the house. One of my favorite movies is Ray. And what Ray would do is, when he got to one level, remember, it was a scene when he was singing and they turned the lights down. And it got dark. And Ray at the end said, "Why were you back there whispering?" And he said, "I was turning the lights down," because Ray couldn't see, so he didn't know the lights were going down. He said, "I was turning the lights down and giving them a count to make sure that you were able to sing and not scream your ballads." And he said, "That sounds good. Because other people say that ain't my job description." You got to begin to learn how to hang around some folk that'll do more than the bare minimum. Can I kind of talk to some people? Can I talk to some church folk? 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 It ain't the Holy Ghost that's about to save your job every time. You need to do your job and do it with excellence. And stop just doing stuff that's in your job description and learn how to go beyond what you are called to do, because that's how you get favor. But some church folk will come here and be like, "This is my job," and barely do their job and think I'm going to keep you. Well, you know what? I give you a pink slip just like the man will. I'm just keeping it 100. Hope you don't leave. But you ain't getting no more checks. Number 3, Saul's encounter with Christ affected the relationship. I'm still on the same one. Christ gives us the power to love people regardless of color and culture, though. See, when you start walking in another anointing, you will start being around folk that just ain't black and just not white. Just you'll start beginning to be able to around people that don't even look like you and talk like you. You'll learn how to be around people that's in the marketplace. See, the wealth of the wicked, I'm gonna stop saying the wicked, the wealth of the secular is laid up for the righteous. If you learn how to hang around them, I'm not saying go to the club with them, but I'm saying you might go play golf with them. You gotta build relationships to get some of this money that's out there. I ain't wrote a grant in my life, but I always get the money from somebody. Why? Because I build relationship with the folk I need to. I know I'm an introvert, but when I know I need something for the vision, I turn that introverted switch on and be like, it's time to go to work. It happens automatically. Why? Because I know that God has the power to get me over my fear. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Every time I stand before you, I'm overcoming a fear because I really don't like being in front of people. I know you think I love the microphone. I know you think I get a hive of it, but truth be told, the reason why I trip in the midst of my sermon is to calm my nerves. But God has a way of anointing you and putting you in places that you shouldn't even be. Your greatest weakness will become your greatest strength. Why? Because I give it to God. I wonder if I'd even be able to get a message together the way I get a message together if I was an extrovert. Because then I come up here high, ready to be seen. They going to see me. Hey, Brother Jarrell, they going to see me. Look. I hate being I sweat more preaching than playing basketball. Because I'm nervous. Especially with some of y'all faces. What are you talking about? I ain't saying you ugly, but I'm saying some of y'all just mean sometimes. Like, how you mean on Sunday? You ain't got to go to work. You ain't got to preach. All you got to do is sit down in a nice little comfortable chair and listen to me talk, and that's the nut. God will destroy ethnic barriers when you anoint it. If you're not walking in your anointing, you can only talk to people that look like you. Because can I tell you a secret? Jesus didn't trust the disciples with more than the Jews until he gave them the Holy Ghost. Then he said, take this gospel from Jerusalem to the Judea, to Samaria, to the outer ends of the earth. He didn't say take it nowhere but your house if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, because he already knew you was going to be racist. Y'all don't hear me? Let me go on. Examine the relationships in your life. Since your encounter with God, how have they changed? How your relationship changed? Brother Baker, how they changed? Since your encounter with God, how have they changed? What's different? Who's different? Can anyone even tell that you've had an encounter with God? Oh, come on, somebody. So some of y'all still here because you had an encounter with God, because some of your friends ain't here no more. Y'all know what I'm saying? See, when you really have an encounter with God, you'll begin to put God over friendships. You'll begin to hang around friends that can take constructive criticism. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? See, because Jesus said to Peter, get you behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan. Yes, Peter still came back because Peter understood he really wasn't talking to me. I was being used at that moment, so he had to speak to that demon that had, come on somebody. But some of y'all get too offended when somebody tell y'all something. Now, if my hater tell me something, I might not hear you, but if my friend said, I got you. Number four, let me get out of here. Number four, I got to preach too many times today. Number four, Saul's encounter with Christ made him willing to suffer for the sake of his faith. Woo, you'll be willing to suffer. Have you ever been in a relationship and something go wrong and you don't be in a relationship no more? Huh? I know y'all want to say it loud, but have you ever been majoring in something, but then the class got hard and you changed your major? Huh? Yeah. But then when you got to a major, you like, it still was hard, but you stuck with it because you finally found something you really had your heart in. Y'all don't hear me. Have you ever, let me go on somewhere. I don't want to mess up people's houses. Number four, again, Saul's encounter with Christ made him willing to suffer for the sake of his faith. When you really love something, you'll suffer for it. You'll go through the hard times. Truth be told, you're going to have hard times everywhere. You're going to have hard times on any job. Some may be more, you know, holy hallelujah than others. But you're going to have problems. The thing about it is sometimes suffering happens to make sure that you love what you say you love. Come on, somebody. Huh? Yeah. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Brother Day, they say there's a thin line between love and hate. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it's a thin line. But I'm just saying, because sometimes you almost hate the person you love because they do stuff, but you stay because you love them. you see what I'm saying? Church, you know, sometimes I get mad with God. It's like a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, truth be told, church is a marriage to a preacher. And I done want to divorce Newbies Grove on several occasions. Go to courthouse. Y'all don't want this no more. I want a divorce. but when you love God, you will take the suffering. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I know I'm making it personal, but that's the only way I know how to preach. Anyway, from the very start of his new Christian life, Saul was told the price he would have to pay to follow Jesus. The man sent to help him, Ananias, could have said something like, "Saul, I've got some good news and bad news. Good news is Jesus told me to tell you you were chosen instrument of his. The bad news is you're going to suffer a whole lot." This message doesn't sound like much of a popular preaching of our day that promises the blessings of following Jesus without mentioning the cost of being his disciple. In the book, The Cost of Discipleship, considered to be one of the most authoritative sources on discipleship, the German evangelist Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." These words certainly mirror those of Jesus as he consistently told his disciples that they would have to pick up their own cross and follow him. It's been said many times, Christianity is a cross, not a crutch. As it pertains to your walk with Christ, can you honestly say you are willing to suffer for the sake of your faith? I done been wrote out of many meetings. I don't care. I'd rather you be mad at me than God be mad at me. I'd rather everybody be mad at me than God mad at me, because God will handle it at the while. You understand what I'm saying? But if I'm trying to please you, see, this, can I tell you something, a secret about a pastor? Because some of you all think that Maxwell does what Maxwell wants to do. No, Maxwell does what God tells him to do. Because, see, he learned from the Bible that when Saul's excuse was, the people made me do this. And God got livid. What? You scared of the people more than you scared of me? I don't even want to talk to you no more. Hey, Solomon, go find me a new king. I'm talking to some pastors out there on streaming. You keep trying to please the people. Got to find somebody else. Can I tell you, I know, I'm over it. But I know some of y'all had them meetings trying to get people together to vote me out before. I know. People told me about it. It's cool, though. It kept me on my knees. I know it's over, and I know people think you bring up old wounds. No, I bring up preaching moments. If you didn't want me to talk about it, don't do nothing stupid. You know it's coming. As long as I don't call your name, don't worry about it. See, some of y'all don't know what prophetic preaching is. Prophetic preaching don't mean you're just saying what's going to happen. Prophetic preaching means you're preaching to make something change, and you're speaking to the moment to make it change. That's prophetic preaching. See, some of y'all need to go listen to King's speech. I know you heard "I Have a Dream." You need to go listen to I just want to play it in here on Sunday morning, but the trustees might get mad and dock my check. So, but look, King, in his sermon on the mountaintop, he began to call people out by name. When I heard that speech, I was like, they definitely going to kill him. He knew he was going to die when he gave that speech. He was calling folk out by name because he had to speak it into existence. And you got to learn how to use your mouth and speak what God wants you to speak. I know this ain't a part of my sermon, but can I tell you right now that there's power of life and death in your tongue? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you have an encounter with God, you begin to learn how much power you have. You can speak your business into existence. You ain't got to worry about nobody speaking nothing for you. Speak it and it shall come. Number five. I got ahead of myself. Saul's encounter with Christ caused him to ground his faith in the truth of Scripture, not just personal experience. Just 3 years after his encounter, Saul personally visited Peter and James and verified the message of the gospel. Eventually, he would talk to John and other apostles, as well as those who were eyewitnesses. He would write to the Corinthians the great gospel creed, which he received from the eyewitnesses he spoke to in 1 Corinthians 15:3-8, and which historians say would have been constructed no more than 2 or 3 years after the resurrection. There is no other encounter like Saul's recorded in the New Testament. The impact of his preaching and his work sparked the explosive growth of the Christian church. I'm about to take a risk here. Saul was so messed up. Everybody started coming to church to see this crazy man that was killing everybody. Now he talking about Jesus the King when he said he was a heretic and a blasphemer. Now he talking about how good he is. Do you know some of y'all was at the crack house so God could get glory out of your life to be like, now she coming to church, now he coming to church. Lord, have mercy, I gotta go. Can I tell you a secret? One time when I was preaching, I was just got out of Georgia Southern and people started climbing over the pews, literally climbing over the pews when I was sitting there. And the priest said, what's wrong with my church? I don't know what's going on. And I said, they don't know it's me. They trying to figure out, is this me preaching? The wild person that used to be at Georgia Southern. And they like, how in the world he preaching? I said, a whole bunch of people going to join your church today. And he said, what? And so they were climbing. And so I stood up and I just said, yeah, it's me. And the whole church is about to say, whoa. You understand? So God begins to pull you out of your hell to make sure he turns you around. See, what the old preacher is saying when he closed sometime, they said he'll pick you up and turn you around and put your feet on solid ground. What he's saying is he'll pick you up out of the mess you're in and put you over here. He'll take you out of your Egypt mess and put you in Bethlehem. Come on, somebody. He'll take you out of Egypt and bring you to the promised land. He'll take you out of the crack house and bring you to the church house. He'll bring you out the whole house. Come on, somebody. That's what he's saying. He's saying he'll pick you up and turn you around. But you got to understand that everybody was shocked. Some people didn't want to be around Saul when he became Paul. Some people didn't trust him. But it don't matter if you trust me or not. As long as God is for me, I don't care who in the world is against me. Oh, he had a personal encounter. His encounter with God, along with the truth he discovered from interviews by witnesses, he set aside his personal agenda for God's. Ooh, I'm about to fall asleep up here. I'm so tired. Everybody has a personal agenda. But can you put your agenda planner down for God's? Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? Yeah, I know you got your own vision, but sometimes you got to put your vision down for God. Yeah. He said, write the vision down and make it plain, but he also said, I can do it secretly and abundantly, but whatever you can ask, think, or imagine, which means sometimes your vision may change, which means sometimes you will write it down and make it plain, but sometimes God will change his mind. Remember, he told Hezekiah, I'm going to kill you, but when he started praying to him, before Isaiah got out the palace, he said, turn around, I changed my mind, I'm going to give him 20 more years to live. You better watch out, because sometimes God will change his mind. Some of y'all church folk are so rigid, and you get so caught up, I thought we was going to have a banquet hall. Well, I thought so too in the beginning, but God changes his mind to make sure he brings a vision where he wants the vision at. And every now and then you gotta learn how to turn gear, because some of y'all too heavy, some of y'all too fat, some of y'all got high cholesterol, some of y'all got high blood pressure, and you need a weight room to get yourself in holy condition, because I ain't never seen no superhero out of shape. You gotta have your body together and take care of your temple so you can do mighty things for God. Hey, y'all better hit me right now. Woo. wasn't trying to be mean. That's the Holy Ghost. Blame him, not me. In closing, we all have an unforgettable encounter. In fact, that's the title, I think I told you, with our name on it. Like Saul of Tarsus, we must choose how we handle it. Will we allow our encounter with Christ to change our mission, shape our character, alter our relationship, reroute our desires, and cause us to abandon our own agenda? I'm going to leave that alone. Now, many churches and businesses get torn apart because everybody got their own agenda. Everybody got their own agenda. Everybody want to do what they want to do. Can I tell y'all a secret? Don't get mad at me. Sister Simons, I'm just going to say it. I definitely don't agree. And don't soundbite this unless you put the whole soundbite there, or I'm coming to get you. I'm not a Republican. And I'm not a Republican whatsoever. And not because, and some people say, well, how can you stick with Democrats if they say that you can have pro-life and abortion and whatever and stuff like that, and they believe in homosexual marriages and all that stuff. This is my thing. God give you free will. I ain't condoning none of that. Yeah, that's your life. You go to heaven or hell because I don't know where you're going. But I know God said you ain't supposed to do it. But I ain't finna be worried about a political party, what they do and vote in certain stuff. On certain things, I got my agenda. But what I don't like is when people try to oppress and make the richer richer and the poor poorer. You feel me? I don't like that. But one thing I can say about the Republicans, they stick together even when they're doing hellish stuff. You know why? Cause demons stick together. I ain't saying they demons, but I'm just letting you know. I ain't saying might be some Republicans in here. I apologize. I ain't calling you no demon, but what I am saying is demons work together. When Jesus went to heal the demoniac, they said, we are legion. We are many, but we are one. We start throwing each other under the bus. When a Christian falls, we want to put it on Twitter and retweet it and repost it and share it and Snapchat it. Pinterest it, email it, blog about it, instead of covering that person when they fall. Yeah. Because truth be told, some of us do the same thing and similar stuff, we just ain't in the media yet. But anyway, I don't know where that came from, that said. Will it cause us to abandon our agenda, or will we do just as Christ challenged Saul to stop doing, kick against the pricks? See, when you kick it against church folk, you kick it against the pricks. And a prick is, or gold is, what they would use on the oxen to make it go. And sometimes the oxen would get so mad and kick back on it, but he ain't doing nothing but hurting himself. Because the gold is there to keep it going forward, and it'll be going back, and it'll finally learn, don't kick back on the prick, or don't kick back on the gold, because it's stabbing a hole in my neck. And what you need to understand is when you go to your job and people kick it against you, they just stabbing themselves because God makes you a prick, come on somebody, or a gold. And when they begin to kick against you, they ain't doing nothing but kicking against their own self. You can't worry about when people talk about you and send out letters on you and call you crazy and send crazy type of political stuff. You can't worry about all that. All you gotta know is when people kick against you and you stand firm in God, God will handle it all the time. Y'all, but I think every now and then I get a rhythm in my sermon because I'll be ready to go into a shout. I don't know about you, but I be feeling the word of God, because when I know that God, I know it's a bad thing. I know some white people, y'all are called people pricks and stuff. We don't really use that, but I understand what a prick is now. Prick means if you come against me, my God is going to handle you. And if I had an encounter with God, ain't nothing you can do. And every time you kick at me, can I tell you what it is? It's really like elementary school, baby. I'm rubber and you glue. And every every time you throw something at me, it bounce on me and stick to you. I know that sound elementary, baby, but what I'm telling you right now is when you kick against somebody that had a true encounter with God, that has been through some suffering, can I tell you something? If you find a successful man or successful woman, I can show you some suffering. Oh, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to tell you right now, I done been through some suffering. I done been through some hard times. I done had some good days. I done had some bad days. But you know what? My good days outweigh my bad days. And I won't complain because my God has made a way out of no way. I done been through suffering. So I know that. Can I end it like King did? King said, when they went to Alabama, they tried to put dogs on them, but they didn't worry about the dogs because they had puppies at home. And when they turned the holders on them, they said they already knew water because they was baptized in the name of Jesus. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I baptized you in water. But when you come up, Jesus baptized you with a raging fire. And it's like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Don't start none, won't be none. But I'm telling you right now, I've had an encounter with God. And if you jump at me, I ain't gotta jump back. I get on my knees and look to the hills from which cometh my help. And I know my God shall supply all of my needs. He will stick closer than any brother. He will make a way out of no way. He will pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. Can I go old school? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Don't say yeah, because I gotta bring it new school. Ain't he already done it? Ain't he already done it? You already delivered. You already healed. You already free. You already blessed. You already got the victory. He will. Hey! 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 Why you worried? Can I talk to some preachers? Preachers. If you're a preacher, why are you always worried about? You ain't preaching. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God, when he anoints you, he don't anoint you to become something. He anoints you for what you already are. So stop trying to rush, man. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't. Stop trying to rush your development. Stop trying to rush your process. Stop it. Stop it. Stop trying to rush the process. Stop it. Stop trying to rush the process. Stop it. Uh-oh. I'm coming back. Stop trying to rush the process. Stop it. I'm back over here. I knew what I was doing wrong. Don't worry. Stop it. Stop it. Stop trying to rush the process. You microwave Christian, you. Crockpot Christians get married. Microwave Christians stay single. You'll get there when you go home. I mean it in twofold. Don't no man want no microwave turkey. And the world don't want a microwave leader. When you get up and preach, they want to feel depth in you. When you get up and lead, they want to know you've been through something. You ain't got to tell them your business, but out of your experience. Even if, what's his name? What's that? Not Donald McCurdy. What's the other one? B.B. Winans. If he do ABCs, you know he can sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, I, J, K. You know what I'm saying? He'll sing anything. Because they know. He know what his gift is. And some of you all need to walk in your power, but sometimes you can't have power because you haven't had an encounter with God. See, some of you all may have had an encounter with God. Some of you may have not, but you got to understand when you start stepping on this stage now, you're going to have an encounter with God. And when you go through it, it's going to hurt, because if you lead in praise and worship, God begins to send you out before he sends me out. Come on, somebody. He told them to send the worshipers out, then bring the, and then confuse the enemy. I need you to sing even when you're going through hell, because sometimes he wondered how in the world your body hurt and you still singing. Come on, somebody. How in the world you done went through with all these kids and you still singing? How in the world you going through people pressuring you, trying to get you to leave the church because they wonder why you're still here and you still singing? But you got to learn how to handle it and learn how to. Some people got to fall off your life if you're going to the next level. You got to go. And sometimes you got to let some people go. God loved me so much that he took me out of Atlanta. I was so mad. I was hating, girl. I was hating on Tyler Perry. Soon as I leave, you gonna bring the studio down there right where I used to go play all the time. I was a straight hater. And brought me over here to Newport News, and they got Hollywood and Atlanta now. And I used to do stand-up comedy over here, and I'm over here. I'm keeping it real. You know, I ain't get up there and be like, I wanted to be successful, but I was mad. And I saw SWAT. They had did the SWAT thing, and I'm like, SWAT, that means Southwest Atlanta. I want to go home, Jesus. Everything's going on over there. And what news? I want to go home. I'll keep it at 100. But God said, let SWAT, the say with the testimony, let that make you feel like you at home, because you ain't going nowhere. And I was highly upset. But it's all good. Because God loved me so much, he pulled me away from my familiarity. He told Moses, you know, he told Abraham, go to a place where I'm going to show you. He said, well, just go where I said. And go. Ooh, I feel this one. Ooh, Jesus Christ. I ain't gonna say this one out loud. I tell my people in the secret place. He said, go. Jesus Christ. Ooh, Jesus Christ. He said, go. 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 And leave everybody. And the Bible said that Lot went with him. Ooh, that's a sermon right there. I'm going to stop right there because that's another sermon. Stop bringing your lots with you. Stop it. Unless they develop, don't bring your lots with you. Lot almost made Abraham lose everything. He said, leave and don't take nobody you know. And Lot went with him. Oh, Jesus. He talking to somebody. Lot went with him. Stop taking your lots with you. Can you learn how to leave some people behind? Because truth be told, if you can be delivered from people, you'll be delivered from a whole bunch of things. When Saul had the encounter, he left the same. The people that was on the street, they didn't say that they came with him no more. They led him to where he's supposed to go, but then somebody else had to get him where he was going. Sometimes you have an encounter so big, they could hear it, but they couldn't see it. They can hear you going somewhere, but they can't see where you're going. And you got to start trying to convince everybody of the vision God gave with you, because it's your encounter. It's not their encounter. You got to learn how, when you have an encounter with God, how to leave some folk behind that don't feel your vision. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when church folk and business folk, period, thank you so much, you're so cool, and people be going through, and you be going from one level to the next, you got to learn how to let them go. When people start complaining about what it is they don't want to do, let them go. When somebody quit, let them go. Stop letting them come back. They done told you they don't want to be there. Let them walk out of your life. I want to talk to somebody right now who wants to have an encounter with God. Even if you already saved, you can have an encounter again, of course, and you can come on, deacons and everybody who's ministers and whoever's supposed to be up here. But right now, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, oh, you ready, ain't he? Go ahead, bro, you all right? You bigger than me, I ain't going to say nothing. Hey, so, hallelujah. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one that needs a church home? Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one that needs a church home? Is there one that needs prayer? Is there one that wants to have a true encounter with God and wants to be able to walk in the power that God has ordained you to walk in? You may come. That's dope right there, man. Let me take that shirt. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus? Is there one that needs a church home? Is there one? You can be on Twitter, you can be on wherever you on social media. If you're watching us, you can direct message us. Is there one? Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God, and